what we find really difficult is, and I think most production companies find this really difficult, is that there are a lot of older, you know, white middle class directors that everyone knows, and they're really kind of safe pair of hands directors. And that's kind of been the case for years. I mean, the same in all type areas in advertising. But there's also lots of like young talent that we have on our books, and lots of other production companies do as well. And the problem is trying to convince creatives or convince producers at agencies to kind of take the dump.
Welcome to Series 3 of Greater Than 11%, a podcast whose aim is to educate, inspire, and demystify creative careers, all the meanwhile promoting some awesome women and non-binary folk. For episode 96, I'm joined by Catherine Maskell, Head of Sales at Blink, a British production company producing commercials, music, videos, short films, branded content, and long-form entertainment. Catherine completed a BA in English Literature and Drama in 2011 at Goldsmiths University. On graduating, she joined Creative Brief, an organisation that connects brands and agencies to develop brilliant creative comms on their reception desk, but within 4 years, rose through the ranks, becoming an account executive and then an account manager. Catherine then moved to recruitment agency Major Players as a consultant for a year or so before joining ad agency WCRS in the capacity of a PR and marketing manager. But in 2018, made the decision to return to Creative Brief, firstly as a senior account manager before stepping into the account director position in early 2020. In late 2021, she joined Blink Productions as the head of sales, and I'm super keen to delve into how this specific role is vital as a translator between creative teams and clients within production companies and creative agencies. Catherine, what a joy to welcome you to Greater Than 11%.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited.
Yeah, me too. So look, I've just given a light intro into kind of the many roles and many companies you've worked for over the kind of last 10 or so years. Mm. It'd be great if you could maybe colour it in a bit more and kind of tell us where you were hoping to go from doing kind of an English and drama BA at Goldsmiths and then where you are today. What was that journey like?
I guess like the overall theme with my career is that it's been very squiggly. It's not been traditional or linear at all. And I think that I started my career after I finished my English and drama degree in 2011. And then I did that. I was always interested in theatre and drama, but I didn't really have the full confidence to kind of like just do drama. So I did English as well, which I do think was a good idea as well, because it helped with roles that I went into following that. I think I've always never really been sure, like, well, I think definitely back then I just wasn't sure what I wanted to do, and I think that's really common in young people. Also, when I did graduate, it was around 2011, so we were like sort of the end of the financial crash. So when I came out of university, it was quite hard to get like full-time roles. So when I was at university, I did a lot of temping through recruiters. I did like reception and admin work over summer holidays. So that was really good. So I had those relationships with quite interesting like boutique recruiters throughout university, which I think was a really good thing that I did, because I lived in London, I was able to do it over the summer holidays, etc. And then when I left university, I did find it really hard because I was living with my parents. I really wanted to move out, I just couldn't afford it because I just couldn't get like a consistent role. So I did a few different things, like short-term temping. I worked at L'Oreal, I did lots of reception work, lots of security desk work at like media companies. I did an internship at InStyle magazine. And then I think, yeah, I kind of started to work on reception at creative agencies. And I think if I'm really honest, it sounds really bad, but I really liked that they seemed really relaxed and they weren't wearing kind of corporate clothes. And it just seemed kind of, everyone was quite young and cool. And I kind of was interested in exploring that. And also I was interested in journalism as well. So I was just kind of like testing the water with lots of things. And then a full-time job came up at Creative Brief. Yeah, I started working reception, and that was like my first full-time role after university. And it was just really great because I didn't really know anything about advertising. I didn't know anything about marketing because I hadn't done that at university. So I really like learned from scratch from that kind of junior role what all of these agencies did. So like advertising agencies and like above the line agencies, and I worked with PR agencies and digital ones and media and everything. So it was just like almost like a massive education in marketing, really, and the advertising industry, because we sat in between agencies and brands. So I learned so much from my time there, and it was just a really nice culture. It's a very small company. It's quite family sort of vibes. I felt like I could really like grow and develop there. So I moved from like team assistant reception through to account exec and then up to account manager. So by the end, I was like running my own client relationship. So I was working with, say, like Virgin Atlantic, for example, and helped them find or run a pitch to find a new retained PR agency. I think that was like one of the last ones I worked on before I left. And then I think I just like, I'd been there since I was in my early 20s, and then I got to about 26, 27 and I fancied a change. And I did go somewhere I won't mention after this, and it was an agency, but it didn't work out for me. It was a huge, huge agency, and I was doing marketing and new business there. And culture fit for me is like such an important thing. And I stayed there for around a year, but I just wasn't particularly happy there working on pitches. And I mean, some people would like love doing that, like working on pitches and kind of working really late nights all the time. So it was sort of like 2 a.m., like 5 a.m. working on these pitches, but it was just constant. And I didn't feel like I had a good sort of work-life balance. So after that, I actually went to Major Players, which is a recruiter, quite a well-known like creative industries recruiter in Covent Garden. And I actually went there to just be like, I'm not really enjoying my job. I don't really know what I should do next. And actually, they were like, they said to me, oh, you know, lots of agencies, your job at Creative Brief, where you were working and managing relationships with all of these agencies and brands, could be really useful for recruitment. And it's something I'd never really like considered before. I think sometimes it gets a bit of a bad rep, recruitment. So I was a bit scared. It's a very like sales role. And I decided to do it. It was an amazing experience because, again, like going back to, I think this is like a theme for me, the culture there was just amazing. I've got like so many friends from Major Players that some are still there, some have moved on, but it was, again, like a really nice family feel, like some really great big characters. And I just felt so happy there. And I think they do really good training as well. So if you, in terms of like sales, they're very like strict and thorough, but it's a really good basics of like new business, really. I think I wouldn't be where I am now if I hadn't have done that. And I was running a desk with freelancers. So I was meeting freelance producers and trying to get them roles in advertising agencies or brands. So again, I really like that because I could go out and meet people and do interviews with them, relationship building kind of thing. But then also it is quite micromanaged sometimes, recruitment, especially when you're first starting, which I didn't particularly enjoy. I'm glad I did it because all of the skills I got from that role I now still use. So yeah, it was great. But I think, and I'd say this to friends I worked with at Major Players, I'm not like, I think you need to be very, very, very like focused on money to kind of get the most out of it in the long run. And I don't feel like it was like necessarily something I wanted to do for a long time. And I felt like I wanted something a little bit more varied. So I decided to go back to agency sides. And I went to an agency called WCRS, and they no longer exist, which is what I'll come to. They used to be part of Engine, and Engine doesn't exist anymore either. It's now called House 337, but they were an advertising agency that were around for a long time, WCRS. And I was given more of a PR role. So my job was to go out and meet journalists like Campaign Magazine and It's Nice That and Creative Review and all of those different platforms, and kind of get a relationship with the journalists so that, you know, when work that WCRS had done came out, we'd get kind of good exposure for that. I also ran events and things like that. So it was a bit, rather than new business, it was more kind of like pushing out content. Yeah, again, it was like another thing that was like kind of, I hadn't really done that type of role yet. So I think it was like another string to my bow. And that was amazing again, but it was a bit of a difficult time there because obviously there was a restructure and like consultation period and things like that. And then I actually, at that point, because their culture was very much in kind of limbo, decided to go back to Creative Brief because there had been an opening come up for a senior account manager, account director role. And the woman who was heading up the team, I really got on with her. I knew her. I just really missed that culture. And although I did really enjoy WCRS, I think I do tend to thrive and really enjoy small companies. So yeah, I stayed there for 3 years. I was so happy that I was there through COVID. They were amazing. In my job, it very much was like much more on a senior level to how it had been before. So I was running much more high profile pitches for brands. I was kind of responsible for bringing in lots of revenue for the business through re-signing up agencies at the end of their year with us. So it was very much more kind of like building things from a financial perspective, not just kind of project managing pitches. And I also, it was the first time I'd managed someone. So I managed an account exec and moved him up to account manager while I was there. So I'm really proud of that. So yeah, it was great. I loved it. But I think I came to the end of 3 years and COVID was, you know, really difficult. And everybody had that sort of time to sort of reflect on what they want to do. And I just felt like I was coming to a bit of a crossroads. I didn't really want to go back into ad agencies. And I didn't want to stay at Creative Brief forever. So I decided to jump into production. So that's kind of where I am.
No, it's great. And like you said, you've had a really kind of winding path. And I think like two things that struck me when you were talking about that is that one of the main drivers for you is culture, which is so on the money, isn't it? Because I think a lot of people are in jobs and they're just so unhappy. But when the culture is like there, it makes such a huge difference in terms of job satisfaction and performance, but also just well-being.
Yeah, 100%. And I think, you know, the agency I was unhappy with before I went into recruitment, I think something I sort of talk to people about now is that I think when I was in my 20s or a lot younger, I felt like I was a failure because I wasn't happy there and I just couldn't make it work. The older I've got, the more I'm like, kind of, it's a value exchange, like I should be happy at the place I work. It's really important that I feel comfortable to like sort of be myself and feel like I can thrive and I'm in like a kind of nurturing environment.
The industry we're in, sometimes you do need to work late, but like if it's regular and you're working to 2 or 5 a.m. that's like toxic culture.
Once
in a blue moon it's the exception to the rule, you know, and then every other time it shouldn't be like that. So I'm so pleased you got out.
I feel like it's definitely changing in the industry from like the conversations I have with agencies, but I think it completely varies from agency to agency. You just don't really know. So I think like my advice would be like if you're interviewing for a job, like the culture really needs to be thought about, and particularly with agencies.
Also knowing yourself, right, which is kind of what you're talking about. When you're young, you're still trying to figure it out, but when you know actually I need these things to make me happy and to actually do good work, then they're the things that you're kind of drawn to.
Yeah, definitely. So yeah, I started to think about production. I mean, I did theatre at university, so I've always had that interest in production from a theatre perspective, but also like with TV and film, and lots of people are interested in that. And I think when I went into advertising, that was the bit that actually interested me, the actual like output, and particularly like the video and film content rather than like the strategy side of things. But I'd kind of fell into working in strategy for a long time and not being kind of nearer the creative. So I contacted a few production companies that I knew and just said like, I've got this CV, it's got very eclectic, but I know lots of agencies and I know the landscape really well. And I also worked in major players and I know producers and I've got a kind of understanding in that area too. And a lot of them came back really positively and were like, this seems really interesting for a sales role in production. And then one of them came up, they weren't hiring that particular company, and they came back and said, have you ever heard of a role called a director's rep? So a director's representative. And I hadn't. And they sent it over and it just sounded like my perfect role. So production companies like Blink have a roster of directors. So I didn't know this was all news to me, that are basically on our books. So we have about 20 film directors are signed up to Blink. So as a director's rep, my job would be to go out and it's almost like an agent role. So go out and sell our talent to agencies. So creatives and producers that work at agencies, but also brands as well, to try and get them scripts. So that's essentially my job. I remember saying to my flatmate, oh my God, like this sounds perfect because it's got elements of like new business. It's got elements of even account management and relationship building from Creative Brief, and then also recruitment. So yeah, it just sounded like a really good opportunity. So I reached out to a couple of companies, then Blink came up on LinkedIn and I reached out to them and I interviewed and got the job and been great. I've been there for about a year now and yeah, really happy.
So you've given us a little detail there. You've talked about actually going out. So you've got a kind of bunch of directors on your books and you go out and you meet with different organizations, so brands, agents, etc., and you're trying to connect their talent with a potential need. Is that how it is?
Yeah, so it's quite soft sales. So I'll go out and it's basically kind of building relationships with producers and creatives in agencies. So creatives will need to know about the talent that Blink have, because when they're writing a TV script or a content script, they might be thinking of a particular style, like comedy, for example, or it might be that it's going to be like really cinematic, or, you know, or it's a fashion brand. So it's really important that Blink are constantly front of mind and they understand the talent that we have, so that when they are looking for a comedy director, they'll come to us because they know that we've got some really great comedy directors that could then direct, and then we could shoot their adverts. So it's a case of kind of just keeping those relationships going. When I go and meet them, I don't usually kind of like sell like in a really pushy way. It's usually just kind of keeping that relationship going, kind of trying to find out what, you know, what scripts that might be coming up, either from creatives that are writing them or from producers who will be producing them, and kind of getting an idea of what kind of scripts are coming up. So, and then kind of like dropping them a few names maybe in the conversation of directors that might be quite good, and then kind of following up with reels of work. And then sort of day to day, it's kind of reaching out to new producers I might not have spoken to before, or creatives that I've seen like on campaign that have just done a really interesting piece of work, trying to meet them. It could be meeting them for a coffee or a lunch, or just going into the agencies and showing them kind of a reel of work. It's really like kind of a mixture of prospecting, lots of email prospecting, and also it's almost like kind of constant like PR for Blink as a brand, and kind of keeping us front of mind so that when they have a script, they think of us and look at our directors.
What's so interesting is it's like highly creative, because obviously you're getting to know creatives as such, directors, but also like how to and where to place them. It also sounds wildly social.
It is, yeah. Which I love. It's really good. So I was in Manchester yesterday and the day before, one of our executive producers who works with me on sales. So it was just really fun going into agencies and showing them like really cool work we've done over the last year. And, you know, it's a mixture of adverts, and we do some online content and we do music videos. It might not be that they are going to have an advert that's going to be exactly right for that work, but we kind of want to inspire them as well with, you know, really interesting techniques that our directors are doing, or really like really cool music videos, just so that they like remember us, so that when, you know, they do have an advert, even if it's like a car advert or whatever, they'll kind of remember to come to us.
Yeah, it's that creative potential, right? Like, yeah, the possibilities in future.
Yeah, and then it is just building that relationship. And it's, I'm definitely not like a salesy person at all. So the fact that I'm head of sales, yeah, sometimes that makes me feel a bit weird in a sense, because it's not, I don't find the role salesy. I think it's more like a consultant in a sense. So we'd never, you know, push a director if we didn't think that they were right for that script, because at the same time, we want to make really good work too. And our directors are, you know, understandably, they're really picky about the work they do as well, because it's their career at the end of the day. So it's quite a nice place to be.
Yeah, I mentioned in the intro as well, like I see your role very much as a translator as well.
Yeah.
Like for me, it's a really tricky thing, especially working in creative industries, is how do you convince, or how do you take someone's creative vision, creative ideas, and how do you then translate that to clients to get them excited, to get them to also understand the value, right? Because creative process is often not cheap. And so there's a lot of conversations around that. And I wonder, maybe you could talk a little bit more about that, because that always is a sticking point. Like, here's the creative vision and understanding the brief, and then working with the clients and helping get them on board, because, you know, it's often a big investment and it can be quite scary to know if it's going to work or not, right?
It is really tough. And I think I might go off a bit on a tangent here, but I think what we find really difficult is, and I think most production companies find this really difficult, is that there are a lot of older, you know, white middle-class directors that everyone knows, and they're really kind of safe pair of hands directors. And that's kind of been the case for years, where, I mean, the same in all type areas in advertising. But there's also lots of like young talent that we have on our books, and lots of other production companies do as well. And the problem is trying to convince creatives or convince producers at agencies to kind of take the dump. So they might have a script that's, you know, might be really good for one of those older directors, and they had that older director in mind, and you know that he's going to make it perfect and maybe win you loads of awards. but that older director was once a young director. And it's like, it's kind of like trying to convince them to see the potential, even if our younger directors don't exactly have, you know, a big budget, you know, John Lewis ad, for example, yeah. They might have just done a nice music video, but it's got like a really, really amazing idea at the heart of it. So it's trying to like get them to see the potential in those younger directors rather than kind of see something that's, rather than kind of using the same people over and over again. I think that's like kind of our main challenge.
That's tough when we're talking about big budgets.
It was, when I got interviewed for it, it sounded like a lot more simple than it would be, but it is so hard because obviously brands have, you know, understandably got big budgets and they don't want to risk anything, but also creatives don't either, because it might be their first chance to do, I don't know, a Christmas ad or something. They'll want to go to that really safe pair of hands, famous director, because, you know, they don't want their idea or like their baby to be ruined potentially by taking a risk with someone that's not as well known. But I think like the thing that we always say is like Blink's been around for a long time. We've been around since the 80s. And there's lots of newer production companies, but we are really like well known, and we've got like a big heritage in craft, and we're behind all of those directors. So even if we have a, say, 25-year-old director and he or she hasn't done that many big budget work yet, we will be there to support that director. So it's never going to go wrong. It's just kind of more exciting for the creative to kind of take a chance on a younger director and kind of build them up to be like the next big thing. I think that's kind of my main challenge in the sense of kind of talking about creativity.
Yeah, and it comes back to diversity as well, isn't it? Like different viewpoints and a diversity of experience. And it's not saying that people that have already are established no longer have a great viewpoint, but it's like mixing it up and giving us new things as well and new ways of seeing and doing things.
Yeah, exactly. Because as I said, like the really successful directors that have been around for a while are mainly men, and they're mainly white, and they're mainly middle class. I mean, the whole industry in general is really trying to push like female talent and people from different like social economic backgrounds, different ethnicities. Like obviously like everyone across advertising is hopefully trying to do that. Yeah, I think agencies need to kind of practice what they preach, because a lot of the time they say they want to do that, but then they'll go for the white middle class older director. So it's a constant kind of battle with that.
Yeah, it's also a time game. I think that we just need another 10, 15 years, you know, and not in any kind of negative way. Those people will have moved on in terms of retirement or whatever, which is opening up space, as long as they're making those changes now to embed that.
And then there's just a little bit of a gap where there's those younger directors that aren't getting the opportunity to jump up. Yeah. Yeah, I think what we're focusing on is kind of getting maybe like smaller budget branded content or smaller budget ads, and really trying to get agencies to think about how they could, you know, get the best out of a really hungry young director, rather than going to someone that, you know, an older director that might not put as much effort into something with a smaller budget, for example.
It sounds so exciting though. So like meeting talent and seeing people's ideas and then being able to, you know, champion them. It's quite a exciting role.
Yeah. It's really exciting. It's really exciting. And I think things are definitely changing, because obviously the younger creatives and the younger producers do want to do that as well, I think.
So I know that you recently went to the Cyclopée Festival. I'm wondering if you could talk a little bit about that and what Blink was kind of, what they won, what they came away with.
Cyclopée is like a 3-day festival in Berlin. So it was my first time I've been, because obviously I'm quite new to production. And it was really nice. I went with my MD and one of our executive producers. And it's kind of a festival of creativity with a real focus on production and film. So yeah, it was brilliant. And I went to some amazing talks, like Spike Lee spoke, which was incredible. There wasn't lots of agencies there, so I wasn't, or brands. So it wasn't like, I didn't feel like I was like under loads of pressure to like sell, but it was a really nice sort of networking event to kind of get industry insight from kind of other production companies and other like post-production companies and music companies. And again, because I'm new to production, I just learned so much from that time there. We were nominated for a music video that we did earlier this year for an artist called Sad Night Dynamite. And one of our directors is Lucas. He's a young director He won silver for best visual effects. So that was really exciting because the music video is really interesting. It's hard to explain without showing it, but it's really interesting. He kind of did it all through VFX. So it's like a world that's been created basically all through effects, which he did from his bedroom in Canada. So it was completely remotely over lockdown. So it's really impressive.
So I'm going back to your role now. I'm wondering if you can talk about what skills are needed for this specific role. So you're head of sales, but it's also, like you said, it's not really a salesy job. It's more a connecting element.
Yeah. So like the skills that you need for this role, I think a good communication. So I think, you know, if you've done any kind of like account management or relationship based roles before, I think that really works. So we have a sister company called Blink Inc, and they do animation, and there's a guy that does my job there, and he's from an account management background as well, so that's really interesting. So yeah, building those relationships and kind of being quite a translator, as you said, or like a consultant, and kind of really harnessing and kind of nurturing the relationships with producers and creatives over years, really, that's where you end up doing really well. So yeah, good communicator, like within that, being a people person. I don't think that I am, you know, 100% extrovert. And I think some reps from other production companies are, you know, massive personalities, and that can be the case. But I also feel like you don't have to be that to do well in this type of role. So I definitely can be a bit of a mix between extrovert and introvert. And I also really enjoy kind of getting my head down on a Friday when I'm working from home and kind of getting like a strategy together as well. Feel like it needs to be a mix of being kind of sociable and like, you know, enjoying going for a drink or enjoying going for a lunch or breakfast with people, like strangers as well. So sometimes that can be quite weird. It's like almost going on like dates, like first dates with like just people you don't know. But also I think what works well, something that I think I do well as well, is I kind of mix that with also like a strategy side as well, and kind of really having a plan for like the next week or the next month and kind of who we're targeting and things like that. I think also being really proactive, very fast paced, and like you can't really have like a long term, you can have a long term plan, but you've got to like really pivot week to week. So, you know, on a week to week basis, we'll be like, we're going to focus on Adam and Eve this week because we know that there's things coming up from that agency, for example, and that might mean that I have to park something else that I was doing. And also just being proactive in the sense of, the other week I just decided to go to Amsterdam because the UK market was quite quiet, I think, because of things that are going on in the government. So I decided to just go to Amsterdam for 2 days and meet agencies there. Yeah, being autonomous and making decisions yourself that you think are good for the business. And then also with being autonomous, also being like a self-starter. So you have to, no one's really telling you what to do, especially in this role. Like you just have to be kind of constantly trying, like constantly prospecting, like sending emails out to people. And, you know, you have to do like quite a volume of that, like, which can be quite boring, but you just got to keep going with it because eventually it will lead to meetings and that will lead to, you know, relationships and potentially scripts. So that's kind of how it works. And then just like a passion for the work, obviously, and like the creative industry. And I think like within that, I think people that work at Blink and I think people that work in production like tend to like be really interested in kind of wider culture, so like music and like up-and-coming musicians and going to art exhibitions and obviously film and theater. So I think they're the kind of characteristics.
It does sound like it's fast-paced, but it also sounds like you need to be flexible. As you said, you might need to pivot. It's like knowing actually things have changed in the like political landscape, one thing, but also in the creative landscape something might have happened. Or I guess it's also seasonal, right? Like Christmas ads.
Or like, you know, for example, like these two creatives from the BBC that we've worked with before have just started a new agency. So we went up to go and see them in Manchester, like just kind of like keeping an eye on where people are going and trying to get them at the right time. especially when creatives move, it's a really good time to kind of build a relationship with them before they go into their next role. Keeping an eye on all of the new work that's coming out day to day, but also having like an ongoing plan for the month. Like, it's quite varied.
Yeah, no time to be bored.
No, you can't. But you're also like, what I find weird about it is like, so say at Creative Brief, I was working on projects. So I was like given work to do, but this job, I have to like make my own work. So it's slightly different.
Yeah, like you said, you did touch on autonomy, and that's quite empowering as well, isn't it? Knowing that you're responsible. If that's something you're after, it's not for everyone, but
It's really different to some roles I've done, but yeah, that I think that is something that's really important. Like, yeah, really being a self-starter and
So I'm wondering, I mean, you've talked about cultural fit being really important to you, but I wonder what's been one of the biggest challenges in your career?
Yeah, I think sort of early on in my career, I had definitely like quite a lot of imposter syndrome that then would like harness my confidence in roles. So I feel like that sometimes held me back a little bit, sort of that self-belief in myself. And also like going back to, you know, the challenges that I've had with like in cultural situations where, like, especially being younger, I just sort of stayed in a situation because I felt like I can't quit, sort of thing. I have to stay in perhaps a working environment that I don't particularly like, because I feel like if I don't, you know, make this a success, then I've sort of failed, or, you know, my career won't pick up again. And I think that that's really wrong. And I think a lot of people don't feel that way. And as I said, sort of at the beginning, my career is very, it's not linear, and I've tried lots of different things out. And I've been thinking about this recently, that it's all kind of paid off for me in a sense that, you know, if I hadn't have had like a situation where I didn't enjoy that first agency I went to, I wouldn't have done recruitment, because that was just nothing, that was just not ever on my radar at all. I probably would have stayed at Creative Brief for a lot longer, which would have been fine, but I wouldn't have had the experience I had at major players in that recruitment role, and then at WCRS doing kind of a PR sort of relationship side with magazines and that kind of thing. I just learned so much in that time where I kind of went a little bit all over the place, that then helped me sort of come full circle to like where I am now. So I feel like that those times, perhaps the earlier in my career, were probably the most challenging, because I didn't really know like who I was. I didn't really know what I liked really, and where I'd particularly thrive. And I think also just like a lack of confidence, but I think that's definitely like through finding places where I've thrived and places where people have kind of really supported me, and I've grown and I've challenged myself, and, you know, ended up managing people and kind of being promoted and all those things. And that, you know, over the years you just become more confident and kind of know where's good for you to go, and kind of being a bit more decisive in what's right for you and what's not right for you.
I think as well, I mean, you talk about, you know, kind of this kind of wiggly path, and I just think what's really interesting, and I was struck when you were like explaining it, that even though you were maybe not confident or you had imposter syndrome, I feel like, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but you had a sense of trusting yourself to make those decisions, even if it felt like, oh God, this is a bit left field or whatever.
Yeah.
That you trusted yourself, that you would find something in that. And like, as you've been explaining that, you've been able to thread it together, and now you're kind of in a role that is like the perfect fit for you and that you really enjoy, right?
Yeah, it's almost like trusting your gut in a sense. I think when I look back on everything, like none of my roles have been perfect, but the ones that most of them I have really enjoyed for different reasons. And it's kind of seeing the like really good parts of it and kind of taking that with you. And but also not being afraid to jump ship if you're not happy. I really don't think that that's a bit like a bad thing to do. And I think like maybe like the generation before would say, you know, it looks bad if you don't stay somewhere for a long time, for example. But if you're not happy, ultimately, you shouldn't stay somewhere. I think that's kind of one of the challenges and something I've learned as well.
Tell me, what do you love about your job?
I just feel really lucky to work there. It's an amazing place to work. Like the directors we have on our roster are incredible. They're so friendly as well. Like there's no egos. I really like that. I feel really supported by the senior team. I get to work really closely with my MD and the two executive producers as well. So I feel really involved in the business, and kind of, I just feel like I can be like exactly who I am. And I felt like from my interview with them, I felt like I was just kind of completely authentically myself. And if I can be authentically myself and feel really comfortable with people, then I do really well, I think. So I like that. I think it's a really like nurturing environment, and it's a creative environment, and everyone's kind of, yeah, really interesting and has like similar interests to me, or like not similar, like everyone's got different sort of varied tastes, but we all, as I said, are kind of culturally and like interested in culture and music and film and TV and everything like that. So there's always like lots to talk about, very sociable. So that's like cultural side. And then my actual job, I'm meeting people. I love meeting people. And I think kind of being thrown into a situation where you have to go and like have lunch with a stranger like on your own is quite nerve-wracking at first, but I think that's been really good for my confidence overall, or kind of having to go straight into an agency and present, you know, 10 adverts on your own again was really nerve-wracking at first. especially because I'm not from a production background, so I've had to like learn really quickly, but I love it now and it's really built my confidence. And I'm just really interested in production. I'm really interested in like the craft behind it, and I just feel there's a lot to learn from it. And I think like, yeah, I'm kind of like just sort of scratching the surface, which is quite exciting.
Which is a lovely segue into how do you fuel your own creativity? Because obviously you studied English literature and drama. You talked about loving being involved in drama. I'm curious to what you do now to kind of fuel yourself.
I definitely should be doing more. I was talking about this yesterday in a meeting. I used to do lots of writing because I was going to do journalism at one point. But like personally, I love music. I know that's a lot of me actually like making something of my own. But I go to lots of gigs and festivals, and I listen to loads of music and like Radio 6 and kind of keeping up to date with new music. And also theatre is really important to me. I haven't been to much over the summer, but over the winter I usually go to like the theatre a lot and try and just kind of keep up to date with what's coming out. So yeah, that's kind of like my kind of outlet.
Yeah, and it's like how you fuel your creativity, right? So you don't necessarily have to be producing anything. It's like how you feed your kind of soul creatively. Sounds like you're getting loads of creative food soul going.
Yeah, definitely.
So I'm wondering, what advice would you give someone who wants to work in a creative organization within a sales? Sales kind of can have many meanings, and you've like beautifully explained what your role does. So if someone was like, that sounds like the perfect role for me, what advice would you give them?
I would say that remember that it's like quite a multifaceted role. Like it's not just going out and like having fun with people or like going for drinks and things like that. Ultimately, you have to enjoy doing that because that is a big part of it. But then you also ultimately have to also enjoy the kind of boring side of it as well. I don't like saying boring, but you know, like it's a lot of, you know, stalking people on LinkedIn and like reaching out, and a lot of people don't respond. I think probably like I get about probably like 20-25% response rate if I'm lucky. So it's a lot of like churn and kind of keeping your head down. But then on the other side of it, it's just so varied in the sense of on the other side of it, you've got to be completely on and like your best self. But like advice wise, don't be scared of the word sales, because, you know, it's not like a pushy sales role. It's really more about relationship building. So we new business in production comes really from kind of building really sturdy relationships and being like genuine and being yourself. So again, if maybe you might not be, you know, the loudest person in the room, or someone wouldn't describe you as a salesperson, and that shouldn't put you off. I think if you're really interested in creativity, if you're really like interested in craft as well and have a passion for it, but you're also kind of good with people and building relationships, but at the other side of it, you know, you wouldn't be put off by the kind of day-to-day kind of pulling lists of people and sending lots of emails out, then yes, it's actually an amazing job. So I would highly recommend it.
I've loved learning so much more about your role and also love how passionate you are. And I really, really love the way you've explained everything and how everything is connected together. And you've like taken the learnings even from the times that, you know, you weren't so happy in where you were or whatever. So that's amazing. What's coming up for you? What's coming up for Blink?
So we are really focusing on our younger talent. So trying to get those guys that have mainly done music videos up into more branded content so that they can then kind of go up the ladder into adverts. So that's like a real focus. So hopefully you'll see more and more kind of work from us that's not kind of those big kind of, not just big, you know, production adverts, but also kind of small creative like online kind of more like on traditional advertising. I think that would be that's going to be really interesting. Yeah, that's kind of our main focus, and you know, like more diverse talent, I think, signing up to the roster, so more women as well.
Amazing. Well, like I said, I've so loved like talking through your role, and we're coming to the end now. Something I gotta ask everyone is two things. Firstly, is there a role creative industries you know little about, which is kind of interesting because your role was a discovery in its own right?
Yeah.
Is there other roles that you come across and being like, what do they do? And also something you could recommend that I could get in touch with and invite to be on the show.
Yeah, I mean, outside of the industry, I was always interested in like therapy and psychology. So, but in the creative industry. I think it would be something within production. So maybe, you know, trying out producing myself, that would be quite interesting to do, especially kind of to fuel this role. But also, yeah, I mean, I've always been interested in being an agent, but I mean, I am an agent in a sense, but maybe an agent for kind of actors. So again, yeah, maybe production of like long form drama, like for entertainment, like TV.
Okay, cool. And you want to recommend?
Yeah, so I would put forward one of our film directors, one of our female directors, Tash Tong. She's lovely. She's from London. She's a great speaker, really interesting, really passionate about, you know, female talent and diversity in the industry. Being a kind of a young woman and a female director, that's quite rare. Obviously, it's getting better, but she's got so much to say on that. So I think she'd be amazing.
Wow. I mean, not only does she sound brilliant, she has the most amazing name as well, right?
Yeah. she's really great.
Catherine, it's been so lovely chatting to you and learning about all the amazing stuff you've done. And yeah, thank you for sharing and being so open and honest.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening. Please do subscribe to where you get your podcasts to make sure you're up to date with any new episode drops. And you can also follow us on Instagram, at GreaterThan11. A huge thank you to Eden Richards, who creates all Greater Than 11% artwork and edits this beautiful podcast.